tonight we want to wrap up our study on the family. We're paralleling Tim Keller's devotional book on the Proverbs. And I think a lot of you have found it valuable to be able to read the daily devotionals, kind of keep your mind in the book of Proverbs through the week. And then we'll kind of wrap up with some basic principles that we learn from where we are in that process. And so tonight, I've entitled the lesson for tonight, Lifelines, Family Redemption. Lifelines, because the families that God puts us in is designed to help us find the life that God would have for us. There are lifelines in terms of one generation after another, so a little double play on words. But I wanted to include family redemption because the reality is that in a fallen world, and because none of us are without sin, every family has its story of some level of failure to be the right kind of parents, to be the right kind of kids, for things to turn out just like we think. And we've hoped for. We've been blessed to have a families or children and grandchildren serving the Lord, but we also know that there are hardships that come along the way, and there are those that turn away. And I thought it would be helpful for us to kind of back up and look at the overall purpose of families, why God designed them. And then I do want to end with a word of hope. If you find yourself in a family that the problems have perhaps cause a family to split up, or perhaps your folks weren't even believers and your family life was very difficult. Perhaps you were the wayward child and God has brought you back. There are any number of things that can happen. And the gospel gives hope to people whose lives are messed up in one way or another. And we want to see that in the scriptures tonight as well. So calling this Lifelines, Family Redemption, we serve a God who designed families really to reflect ultimately his own love for his children and the security that we have in him. And so the first principle that I want us to think about tonight is that God designed family interaction to bring mutual blessing. I think as a parent coming into this responsibility, you feel the heavy weight of rearing your children. As children, we feel the heavy weight of if I don't obey, I'm in big trouble, and my parents are expecting me to turn out a certain way. But I think that performance part of it is secondary to the purpose of it. And that is that God designed family interaction to bring mutual blessing. And you see this coming through over and over again in Proverbs, because the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, often couches the precepts that he's teaching in the mouth of a parent talking to his children, talking to his sons. So Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, right at the beginning, just after the introduction to the book. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. And that's more than just that you have the ability to hear, but you're actually listening, you're paying attention to, you're obeying your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. So this is more than just about the initial receiving of truth through your parents that know God. It's about remembering it for years to come. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. There is great reward. There is the blessing of success, if you will, for those sons and daughters who will listen to godly parents, give instruction from the word, and will live their lives along those lines. For you to be able to go through your life and remember the words of your dad or your mom and remember their heart and their prayers for you. I know to this day, when I think about what most influenced me toward the Lord and what most often comes to mind in terms of how I should serve the Lord, I'm going to be thinking of my dad and my mom. I'm going to think of how dad handled things and his faith in God and his selflessness and his love for others. And And so we pass this blessing along. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, similar. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So we're now at a deeper level than just a head knowledge, but you're actually holding on to this as something of treasure. For length of days and years of life and peace, so both quantity and quality of life, they will add to you. Blessing coming through the vehicle, the avenue of parents that are pointing their children to the Lord. Proverbs 4, 20-23, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them, guard them, treasure them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. And then those words that we're well familiar with, keep or guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So here you have the principle that when your parents who know the Lord are sharing the Lord with you and the truth of God with you, to receive those things, not just as instruction for mom or dad, the rules of the home, but to take in more than that, to guard it, treasure those things in your heart, the God that they reveal to you, the truth that they give to you, to hold that precious, understanding that there is life to be found in the book of God. You know, our whole slogan for the church, you know, life by the book is not lived by the rules. It is there's life in the words of God. And not just that you know the verses, but that you know the God of those verses, and that you love him, and that you love what he has to say, and that you treasure that, and you live life accordingly, and you're vigilant to keep those truths in your heart. Perhaps I should say it this way. Really, all of the battles that we face ultimately are battles of the heart, the affection of my heart. I can know all the truth. I can have preached it for years. But if my heart wanders from the way, then it will ultimately, without repentance, destroy my life. I have to guard my heart. I have to be open and honest before God, and hopefully before brothers and sisters in Christ who know me well, who can see deviations and indications that my heart is straying from God, and to guard that love for God, love for his word, in order that I might have life. The point is not keeping the rules. The point is finding life. And somehow as we rear our children and as we seek to influence our grandchildren, what we want to present to them is not just obedience to avoid punishment and to keep the rules, to hem them in, rather to open life up to them, to say, this is the path of life. This is where you will find what God created you to be. Who are you in terms of what God created you to be? If you will pursue God, if you'll pursue his word, his precepts, what you learned from your parents, then you will find the life that you were created to enjoy. If you choose to deviate from that, that's where you'll find the imprisonment. That's where you find the death. Proverbs 6, 20-23, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. So you have the guidance, you have the protection from fear, the safety. When you awake, they will talk with you. You have the companionship of actually words from God, empowered by the Spirit of God. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline, even the things that are hard, the things that confront us in what's not right, are the way of life. And by that, not just, you know, we say a way of life, we refer to a habit. It's referring more to this is the way that leads to life. This is the way that is on the path of life versus the path of death. And this more extended passage along the same thing, Proverbs 23:15-26, my son, if your heart is wise, that is, if you will live life skillfully, my heart too will be glad. You know, John says it in one of the epistles in John, that I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And I think every believing parent feels that way. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. I'll never forget when I heard Matthew, my first son, the first time he memorized a Bible verse, to hear the words of God coming from the lips of my child was breathtaking. And it's a huge blessing. Let not your heart envy sinners. You know, Satan and the world, your own flesh, has a way of presenting the sinful path as the path of fun, the path of freedom, the path of joy. You know, I just want to have fun with life. And it's all a lie. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear, the reverent awe of Yahweh, the Lord, all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. We're talking about the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter till the noonday. There's so much ahead for us. Starting off as children, if we will follow the path of God. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. And then in contrast, be not among drunkards or gluttonous eaters of meat. These are those that just live for their physical indulgence. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So we're talking about a way of life that goes throughout your entire life. Buy truth. It's valuable. And do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my way. So what you see in this design for the family is you see both children and parents finding great joy by pursuing the path of God. The parents are a little further down the path, so they're guiding the way, they're shepherding the way, but they both receive exultant level of joy. They find life and success and hope when they follow the precepts of God passed on from parent to child. Now, obviously, not every child grew up with parents that taught them the Word of God, and not even all believing parents are faithful in their teaching. So this is an appeal to us as parents to be sure that the words of God are filling our mouths, that we are leading with the Word of God, like Joshua of old, who is not to let this book of the law depart out of his mouth. He's to meditate in it day and night, that he would make his way prosperous and find good success as he led the children of Israel. As we lead our children, the Word of God needs to be in our heart and mind. And we pass it along as we go through life. And our children then are introduced to the joy of serving the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, the one who has an ultimate prize yet to come of entering the inheritance, the new heaven, new earth, the being free from death, being free from sin, being part of the everlasting kingdom of King Jesus. And so we give that gift, and families are designed to pass that blessing around. And so I know that, you know, as a family, there's all kinds of burdens on us. You know, there's the piles of laundry. There's the all the headaches of that go with child rearing and keeping up a home and trying to keep a job going and all the things, the illnesses. But don't forget the biggest purpose for which God made you part of a family was mutual blessing. Don't get lost in the weeds. Don't lose the joy of being part of something huge, of being God's little discipleship group, showing people, teaching your children so they can teach others, showing them a way of life so they can imitate it and then pass it on to somebody else. So then the second great principle that we see in Proverbs is God brings judgment on those who disregard his design for family. And by his design, we're looking at that huge blessing design. And just a couple sample verses on that. Proverbs 20:20. If one curses his father or his mother in contrast to honoring them, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Whatever that second part means, it's not good. So whether we're talking about the immediate loss of light for your path, or more likely, this reference to outer darkness, it reminds us of passages that talk about ultimate damnation, where a person's totally rejected the truth and has been consigned to suffer the wrath of God. My attitude toward father and mother sets the path that I'm going to travel. Because father and mother are gifts from God to show me the path of life. Now, if you grew up with parents who didn't know the Lord, but you know the Lord now, it's likely that God brought somebody else into your life that served like a mother or father to you in showing you the way of God. It's important for you to honor them, not because they're perfect and not because they never made mistakes or treated you wrong, but because they were given the task by God to point you the right way. And for you to value that and to honor that, and ultimately the best honor you can give is to follow that path, leads you into the light and apart from the utter darkness of damnation. You reject all that because you think you're too smart, or you think that it's all a lie, and what you will find is darkness, and it may be eternal darkness. And so the stakes are really high, and I think believing parents feel this very strongly. We pray over our children. I remember reading years ago, Charles Hodge had a study in his home, and his children were welcome to walk in at any time. And his children remembered his praying over each of them, and he would place his hand on their head and pray for them there. And the children testified that hearing their father pray for them that way, hand on their head, was life-changing for them. A man who loved God and loved them and prayed for them faithfully. Remember in the early days with our first son, as he slept, just before he came to know Christ, this praying over him, that God would have his heart. As there was this battle, age 3, 4, a battle for his soul that was going on. He's asking a lot of gospel questions. Proverbs 21:12, the righteous one observes the house of the wicked. He throws the wicked down to ruin. So the kinds of things that go wrong in a family are often the kinds of things that a family would hide from public view. An abusive husband or abusive wife, abusive parents, abusive children, the screaming, the mistreatment, the kinds of things that everybody knows is a wrong way to behave toward other human beings. And I think it's really important for us to understand that God observes it all. God sees it. God sees the man or woman pursuing the adulterous affair. God sees those who have the power to abuse their power to the harm of the rest of the people in the family. God sees the wife who's always nagging and bucking her husband. God sees the husband who's browbeating his wife and is self-centered rather than being the servant of all, as leader of the home, as one who's served by all. God sees all that, and he does hold us accountable. for that. You know, if you're having difficulty with keeping yourself in check when the doors are closed, just remember that it's all open and naked to God. And live before Him. Live in the fear of the Lord, and you will treat your wife right, and you will treat your husband right, and you the children will treat their parents right. You serve God by what you do. And it's not that we won't have our sins and failings. It's that we don't need to live there. We don't need to stay there. We need to be quick to repent and quick to say we're sorry. It's important for dads and moms to apologize to their children for when they mess up. Why is that important? Does it erode your leadership? No. It shows that you are serving God. That this isn't just might makes right. It's not just that you're a big person, so you rule. It's rather that, you know, our family's here to serve God. And so, you know, I shouldn't have talked to you that way. Dad was angry, and I responded the wrong way. Will you forgive me? It's important to teach our children that kind of thing. And children, important to make things right. Not just because you're going to get in big trouble, but to actually say, you know, Mom, Dad, I did you wrong. I didn't obey. I had a bad spirit toward you. To actually make those things right, because God brings judgment. But then number three, God redeems people who have suffered from failure in family roles. And I played with the words a lot because I'm trying to get a lot of range with that statement. God redeems people who have suffered from failure in family roles. And what I'm trying to say is this, that God redeems people who've suffered from their own failure, and God redeems people who have suffered from the failures of others. I know this is true, because without it, the gospel wouldn't work. Right? God saves sinners. And recognizing where we sin, but recognizing there's hope for us if we will turn, if we will seek the Lord, is the most important thing that we need to know as we try to do family life according to God's will. Proverbs 29:3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. The path that seems to offer pleasure and freedom is actually a path that destroys what you have. Now, Keller notes how similar these words are to words we find in the parable of the prodigal son. And it gives us great insight. Luke 15:30. This is the older, self-righteous son. When the prodigal has returned, he says to his dad, "But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." So here's this older son who sees himself as having kept all the rules. He's actually the Pharisee in the story. And we know that from the setting in which Christ told the story. He really didn't understand the Father. And he really didn't understand the design of his relationship with his Father. It was all about rule keeping to him. It was all about getting what he deserved, rather than recognizing that nobody deserves the blessing that the Father gives. The Father says this in answer to his older son, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." We see the heart not just of this father in the story, because the father in the story is God himself. We see the heart of God. And to give us a little more insight, verses 20 to 24 of this parable in Luke 15. "And he arose," this is the prodigal son who had wasted all his inheritance on riotous living. "He came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, and his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's actually what every human being but Jesus must say to God. There's not a one of us that deserve to be part of the family. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And Jesus would say, there's joy in heaven over among the angels of God over one sinner that repents. God delights to save people who've blown it. God delights to welcome children home who have strayed far and have wasted the gifts that they have. This is the heart of God toward his wayward children. This is the heart of parents who love God toward wayward children. But we can stray, not just as children, but even as adults. Proverbs 27:8 is not totally clear which is talking about. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. And in looking at the commentary literature on this, some apply it to a young man straying from his home. Others apply it to like a mother bird or a parent leaving children. And we see those things happen, right? We see parents abdicate their responsibility. We see dads abandon their family. We see moms abandon their family. And when the whole picture there is that when we stray from our home, remember that the family is designed for blessing, we enter into the path of danger and there's a loss of security. Now, sometimes the home is so dysfunctional and is so bad that a person almost has to leave to survive. And some have been through that kind of thing. And so Proverbs 14:26, I think, is good for all of us. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence and his children will have a refuge. Your family may read, the history may read like a soap opera. It may be rough. And I know enough of the family situations in the church that know many of you have gone through hard things in your family. We get our notion of God pretty much from what our dads are like. Like the Heavenly Father must be like my dad, and sometimes it's hard to. Let me encourage you that if the degree to which your dad was not a good dad, or your mom was not a good mom, the degree to which they hurt you, or did not love you, or did not train you, did not do godly things, let that be the degree to which you pursue the perfect Father. Who, while he'll do things that you don't understand, will never do you wrong. I often refer to my dad in this part of the series, and his dad married 7 times, had more women than that, and wasn't converted till he was 81 years old. He left the home when my dad was a teenager. And there is very little about my dad's dad that my dad could follow, could imitate. And he just said, he came to Christ at 11, and he said, I just tried to be a man who was the opposite of what my dad was. And in watching my dad's life, I think he found his father in the Heavenly Father, the perfect Father. And I want to suggest to you that even if your family functions very well and it's a delight to you, that the purpose of your family is really to give you a picture of the ultimate family with the perfect Heavenly Father and the perfect older brother, Jesus Christ. Don't expect your family to be able to satisfy all the desires of your heart and meet all the needs of your life. It's only a reflection. It's only an illustration. It's just like with our marriages, right? Marriage can be the most beautiful experience, joyful experience we have on earth. And yet, even in the best of marriages, there are hard things about it. And a lot of marriages don't turn out well at all. And it's always till death do us part, even if it was a great marriage. And that makes it very hard. But remember that marriage was given primarily to show the steadfast love of God for us and our everlasting connection with Him. That's the supreme purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage is not marriage itself. In the same way, the purpose of family is not family itself. Don't worship your family. Worship God. Let your family reflect the greater family, that eternal family with God, the Heavenly Father. We see this kind of concept in Ephesians 3:14-21 that John Layman actually quoted this in his prayer this morning. We hadn't conferred. We just read in the same Bible. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So you saw that he's praying to God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. It's a reflection of Him. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what is the dominant characteristic of the family of God when it's reflecting godliness? It's love. The love we have for one another. Now, to Him who is able, He has the miraculous power to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. The power that made us family. To Him be glory, shining splendor in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What we enjoy together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's family, the Heavenly Father. It is meant to display, is meant to be a foreshadowing of the ultimate joy we will have when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we're all part of that everlasting kingdom. And so there's a sense in which our families, all the laundry, all the child training, all the difficulties, all that work is designed to point us, to help us see the beauty of a forever family. And every time we gather together in a life group or for a prayer meeting or for over coffee or all together in a service like this, every time we gather together, it's a further reflection, a further foreshadowing of that ultimate family and the ultimate family reunion that is coming. God designed family interaction to bring mutual blessing. So ask yourself this week, how can you use your role to bless the others that are in your family and who are connected to you in the forever family? Number two, God brings judgment on those who disregard His design for the family. Are there ways that you're violating His design in your particular role? Well, realize God's holding you accountable for that. So fix it, whether somebody's confronted you about it or not. And number three, God redeems people who've suffered from failure in family roles. There is hope. There is joy for you as you seek healing in your Heavenly Father. And you live your life with a view toward what lies ahead, living with the forever family of God in Eden restored, the heavenly city, New heaven, new earth. It's going to be awesome. Family reunions, pale reflection of what that will one day be. This is our lifeline. And because of redemption, it will be forever and it will be perfect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters. God, thank you for the love you've planted in our hearts for you and for one another. Lord, help us love one another with deep family affection. Help us care for one another. Help us be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of our biological family, as well as to those that are just part of our church family and part of the universal church family. God, help us live that way. Help us enjoy the light of your presence. Help us walk according to your word. And may we enjoy the blessing that you've given us because you've made us your own. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us, even though we didn't deserve it. In Christ's name, amen.